You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. 2 hat tricks in 4 games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats? Modge Podge.
Hodgepodge.
Yeah, there's a Modge Podge. Whole Modge Podge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modge Podge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXM FC Channel 85. I am Andrew Wiebe in the Blue Room. We are moving around. We are vagabonds, podcasting vagabonds here at Extra Time Radio. With me, David Goss, Matt the Armchair Analyst Doyle from the Octagon, of course. And we're in day 2 of our ETR extravaganza. We now have, well, let's see, like, I don't know, like 96 hours or so until opening day, something like that. Friday, 9:30 p.m., Portland Timbers, Minnesota United FC, the first game of the 2017 MLS season. As the extravaganza rolls on, we are on to how to follow MLS. We're talking all about the ins and the outs of being an informed fan this season. And look, that's important. You listen to ETR, you care about those things. Coming up, John Strong, of course, of Fox Sports. He'll tell us about the broadcasting side. And then we're going to get the, what are they calling themselves now, Dave? Spitting hot fire? Hot fire?
Yeah,
spitting. Dylon, and Dylon. Nice. What is it?
I think it's spitting hot fire.
I spit hot fire.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, Ben Bear and Mark McClure definitely spit hot fire. You know Ben Bear well. He is the research bear. He is our MLS fantasy guru, so he's going to give us some advice there. Remember to join our league. 12-308 is the code. I repeat, 12-308. Doyle, minor beef with you. Your league is the only league currently ahead of ours in total members and managers. Are you bribing folks? What are you doing here?
No, I got friends in high places. My close personal friend, Landon Donovan, joined my league and tweeted it out. And Landon and I are pretty tight.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, no, some guy, some retired guy. Bald guys stick together. So I think that he and his like 1.5 million Twitter followers can probably account for the sum total of the lead that I have on Extra Time Radio.
We will try to get that up. 12-308.
By the way.
12-308.
What? 12-308. Yeah. Please get involved.
I know. Dave is so tired of hearing me say that.
Yeah, but we got Ben's nickname in, but we didn't get Mark's nickname in. Mark McClure, the most interesting man in MLS.
That's true. He is the most interesting man.
By the way, we're recording this on Monday. As the groundbreaking for DC United Stadium is happening, does someone have a camera on Mark McClure? Because I can't imagine. He's either bouncing off the walls or completely catatonic.
I think it's probably stone-faced. He's probably sitting there saying, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see 20,000-something fans in there. Mark, one of the funniest guys in this office, he is also an expert on MLS Live and the MLS app. So he's going to explain to you what exactly you'll get from that product in 2017. It really is, in my opinion, a must-have for MLS fans. $79.99, about 20 cents per game. This is the tool that you use to basically understand what the heck we're talking about every single week here on this show. Because I got to tell you guys, I think I probably watch during the season 2 Sunday games, replays. I'm going to guess that I watch about 10 hours MLS cumulative every weekend. So where does that stack up with you guys?
That's about 5 games, right?
About 5 games, yeah. In
but
total.
You're saying,
but I'm also throwing
games,
in condensed games
right
there. You can't always get the full game.
The condensed game is the best part of MLS Live, because like, what is it? 24 hours later, you get a 20 minute version of and, you know, and it cuts out all the throw-ins and all the, you know, people getting in the ref's
space. It's basically any piece of action, like even any decent 2 or 3 passes that are put together.
So what I usually do is I watch those Sunday games, and then any of the games that I didn't watch from Friday and Saturday, I just roll through them on Sunday night.
I probably will watch the Friday game, if not live, then when I get back home on Friday, and then Saturday I watch as much as I can, but Sunday night I'll roll through the condensed games.
Yeah, I promise. We all have lives. We really.
The last couple of years, I probably watched about 250 games beginning to end. And then the rest, which would be about 90 or 100, I just watched condensed games for those. But this year I'll cut back into it to write you know, previews and power ranking blurbs. So we'll see.
We will see. We will see. Look, but before we talk about how we follow this league, and we'll get to that in just a second before John Strong, Mark, and Ben, we got to talk CCL Fever. Hashtag CCL Fever. We're just trying to spread this thing. It should be an epidemic. It needs to be.
Patient Zero is currently located in Frisco,
epidemic.
Texas.
Yes, yes, that's true. Big games coming up this week here on Wednesday in Panama. Rabio Nido and FC Dallas. FC Dallas heading down there with a 4-0 aggregate lead, looking pretty solid to go through to the semifinals. Then on Thursday, the MLS grudge match here between Vancouver and the Red Bulls. It's 1-1 after the first leg at Red Bull Arena. Remember Sasha Kleshin missing a penalty kick in that game.
Having it saved.
Yeah, that's. I guess I was putting
failing
it, I was
to convert.
Mostly putting it on him because I thought it was a pretty poor
right,
penalty
failing
kick.
To convert.
Yes, that's a good point. It's a good, you know, you've clarified there.
Well,
very well.
I mean, it was a nice enough save by Osa. I mean, he could have gone a little harder, obviously, and it was a good kick save.
Well, he chipped it down the middle, but at the moment.
We call that a chip.
Well, I was going to say, the moment it hit the line, it was on the ground. If he actually chipped that, it's a. Cool.
Right, or just hits it with some speed and pace just about anywhere.
With you guys. FC Dallas obviously had a really impressive performance, and it came after an unusual preseason. They went down, instead of staying in the States, they went down to Argentina, and they played 7 games in 7 days. Now, a lot of that was just getting the kids on the field, and they weren't complete games. But it was vastly different from going to Tucson or going to Disney, like most MLS teams do. Is there a correlation here between that preseason that they had and the performance that they had? Or was it just the fact that A, FC Dallas is really good, and B, of the quarterfinalists, Arabe Unido is probably the worst team.
I mean, Unido is probably the worst team.
You guys have zero respect.
We can throw it there. They've lost some big pieces in the offseason. You said this yourself, Dave. I'm basically just quoting myself. Your notes right now. But I'm going to throw it back even farther than this and say FC Dallas learned from the Montreal Impact. Because if you remember their run, you know, they weren't exactly equipped to balance both MLS and CCL at the same time, but in preseason, they skewed the U.S.-based preseason as well. They went straight down to Mexico. They went to altitude. They played Liga MX teams. They prepared in a different way, and then they made this run to the tournament. Now, that included some luck. That Pachuca game, Cam Porter, the god. I mean, the dominoes have to fall. But I think preparation is a big part of it, Doyle. And I think they lucked out as well, FC Dallas, because, you know, they would not have played the competition that they played in this tour had the Argentine League not been in a state of disarray and pushed back and delayed. So they got all these benefits from it, and I think that's a big part of it. I also think they're just really, really good.
They are really, really good. But I think another piece of it is the style of how good you are in that they're not rebuilt. There's continuity there. I think that's another big piece of it. I definitely think the way they went about preseason helped them, but I think if they were a team that had brought in 7 new starters, it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered where you played preseason. You would not be ready to go week 1. They are not like that. That Montreal Impact team wasn't like that either, and I think that really helps.
Now,
the three new starters that they did bring in, by the way, Grana, Lama, and Coleman, all looked pretty darn good.
Right.
Hernan Grana at right back. I mean, he's hitting through balls. He was a lot of fun to watch. And if I was a Crew fan, Crew SC fan, sorry,
yep.
I would be so steamed. I would be so furious every time he stepped on the pitch.
I have to imagine Oscar Pereja was like, hey, look, it didn't work out for you in Columbus, but we've got the whole team is Spanish speakers. They'll make your wife feel comfortable. Your kids will love it. It's going to be great. Just come up here and win some championships with us. And it may happen. They've got a chance here in CCL. I think they'll get through, no doubt. But before we move on and we talk about the rest of this stuff, can we just get this 5-10 minutes of monologue from you, Dave, on Kellen Acosta? Because these two goals that the young man scored are as good as they come. The right-footed curler to the back left corner, first time, after Roland Lama basically ran circles around the Arabia Unido defense, and then just the little nice touch in the box and the drive. I mean, this was a coming-out party that he doesn't really need. We already know about this dude.
I didn't get to see just the exact kickoff, but Doyle, it was a 4-4-2 with the Rudy and Coleman up top.
Yes, Rudy kind of played sort of a free creative attacker role. So you could even say it was a 4-4-1-1.
Right, but it really puts Acosta in that central midfield with Grueso allowed to cover ground, and I think he's a number eight. He's a great passer. He sees the game well, and so that's the perfect position for a number eight in my mind. Is you've got two wingers who are always going to keep their men on them one-on-one, and you've got two forwards that you can play through, which gives you space because the center backs have to drop deep. And I think that's where he's going to play perfectly. He may not always play that final ball, but he's going to keep the ball moving. He's going to rotate possession. He's going to change point of attack from side to side. And then when he pops up on the top of the box or makes that late run, he's capable of finishing. But I think in his time in MLS, this is the perfect position for him. I think this is the most comfortable.
Not a right back. Not a right back.
Or left back.
Or left.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever but, you want to put it
and
back.
Then you look at anybody their bench, and Ulloa is the same as Grueso, which means that Acosta, even if something happens, can still play that position. So, yes, I'm swooning. My knees are weak. I'm excited.
I actually think the most irreplaceable guy on that team is Matt Hedges. He reads the game two steps faster than any other defender they have. He was in midfield making play after play after play. He gives them the structure. Not to take anything away from Acosta, who was the player of the game. I thought Guerrero, Zimmerman were really good too. And I'd like seeing Minor Figueroa bring a little bit of CONCACAF to the Panamanians, who had two clear red card fouls in the first 15 minutes. But Hedges is just the man. And it stinks that he missed January camp for the U.S. national team, because I think he could have been an answer.
And he's an Iron Man normally. That's what's unfortunate. Like, he's never hurt.
Yeah.
Lloyd has been out. Walker Zimmerman has been out. Hedges has been the constant. So for the one time for him to get hurt is when he finally gets his national team camp, which I think he'll get more shots with. It was unfortunate.
Same thing for Acosta in that sense as well. And you heard like a Wando after that camp say, hey, I know he got hurt, but Kellen Acosta is going to be a player for this country. Not in this league, not for FC Dallas, for this country, but all three, the trifecta. Arabia Unido hosting FC Dallas on Wednesday. You can watch that one at 8 p.m. Eastern on UDN or on Facebook. On Thursday, as I said, at 10 p.m., Vancouver Whitecaps, New York Red Bulls out west at BC Place on UDN or Facebook. Who's getting through on this one, guys? I think we basically just assume that FC Dallas will, and I think that will be the case, certainly there. Vancouver, New York, a road goal in play here. Kakuta Mane got the roadie for the Whitecaps. Who's going through in this one?
Barring a red card for Vancouver, I think it's going to be the Caps. Looking at what I saw from the Red Bulls last week, it looked a lot like what I saw from the Red Bulls against Montreal and 2 years ago against Columbus in the playoffs.
Oh, just playoffs needles. Needles, Red Bulls fan.
And you know, we talked to Jesse about it, but Vancouver's happy to sit back, and they're happy to hit you on the counter. They're not going to change that just because they're at home now. And I just think this is a New York team right now that, unless they can, you know, get a man up some – because what I'm saying is Vancouver's capable of a big mistake. Kendall Waston is capable of making a big mistake.
He's capable of that red card.
But outside of that, I think right now Vancouver has enough. Defensively, I think they'll get a goal that they can then get the win.
I mean – they're going home with not just a road goal, but with a draw. So I think they're the clear favorites. They do have to play without the great Eric Hurtado, who is suspended for this one. So it looks like Kyle Grigg will get the start unless Freddy Montero is able to go.
I would
put Giles Barnes up top.
Wow. let me ask this for real, though. If you had Montero for, let's say, you knew you could get 35 minutes out of him, maybe 40, would you start him or would you bring him off the bench?
If I don't think I can get at least an hour out of him, then I bring him off the bench. Mm-hmm. And like the thing is, Ben Olsen said this last year after DC got two late goals to tie the Red Bulls. This team gives you chances in the last 10 minutes just because of the way they play. So if I want Freddy Montero out there, it's for the last 10 minutes, not necessarily the first 10 or 20.
Remember, Jesse Marsh joined us on Monday in the Eastern Conference preview, a long interview going over all that change in the offseason for the Red Bulls, looking ahead to 2017, talking high press, also talking tactics in MLS. You want to go take a listen to that one. Monday was the Eastern Conference preview. Today, you're listening to How to Follow MLS in 2017. Wednesday, our referee special, Peter Walton and 2016 Referee of the Year in MLS, Alan Kelly. You will definitely want to tune into that. Thursday, Western Conference preview with none other than Hercules Gomez, trading the old cleats for a microphone. We're happy to have him in that sense. And then Friday, what else? predictions, all of these shows dropping at about midnight each day. So you'll get your ETR fix and you'll get it quickly. We're going to go to break. When we come back, John Strong of Fox Sports talking broadcasting MLS.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
And we don't mind if everybody knows we go and get it.
Matthew Armchair Analyst Doyle hanging out here talking about 2017. We'll have John Strong of Fox Sports on with us in just 1 second. A packed opening weekend for national television. It all starts on Friday with the first game of the season. The Timbers hosting Minnesota United FC, their first ever MLS game. 9:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1, and then on Sunday, Atlanta and the New York Red Bulls at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, also on FS1. The first ever game for Atlanta United as well. The first ever home game sandwiched in between are two really, really good matchups as well on Natty. LA Dallas, 4 p.m. Eastern on Univision on Saturday. That may be actually on the field the game I'm most excited about. I just hope Dallas doesn't have a little bit of that hangover from Panama because they don't have a ton of time on the turnaround. And then on Sunday, starting things off, the new stadium there in Orlando, the Wall is debuting against NYCFC. Jason Kreis up against the Light Blues. He knows a little something about them. 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. John Strong is on the line now. He's going to call a bunch of these games for you this year. John, how's it going?
Gentlemen, I keep doing a double take about, oh my gosh, it's next week. We're here. I don't know if it MLS Cup feels like a long time ago or feels like just yesterday, but regardless, we're ready to do it again. I think we're all starting to get excited.
Yeah, it sneaks up, and real soccer is where it's at. I mean, I've been saying it on the show for a while. I can do preseason, but only for so long. As you said, March 3rd, 9:30 p.m., FS1, Portland Timbers hosting Minnesota United FC, a big game. John will be there. I believe Alexi Lawless will be there, who you heard from on this show before. And, of course, we're talking about how to follow the league and how to stay abreast of everything that's going on. And John is one of the main resources for that, not just on Twitter, but, of course, week to week on national television. Tell us a little bit about what's planned this year on Fox, John. What are you guys looking at? What are you excited for?
Yeah, I mean, it's year three for us in this big 8-year contract, and as much as a lot of the focus has been on creating the consistent days, consistent times, Sunday nights on FS1, I think there's also sort of an awareness, too, that you need to create certain special games, and whether that's the rivalry games, whether that's an LA versus New York, I think you see again in our scheduling, really trying to make sure that we're in those stadiums that have great atmospheres. We're going to Orlando, we're going to Atlanta, we go to Kansas City, places that if you're flipping around the dial and you see and you hear that stadium, it really stands out to you. It sort of draws you in. And then, yeah, obviously, as you sort of alluded to, you know, we have this wonderful chip that we can play moving games onto the Fox broadcast network and trying to create these special destination viewing moments. We're doing that in May. Seattle, Portland, the first time they're playing this year, the two most recent champions on the Fox network at the doubleheader with the FA Cup final. We've got a doubleheader with the Confederations Cup match on the Fox network, I think, this year, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium opening. And obviously we had a lot of success last year. If you remember in September, we did that thing where we put sort of a doubleheader of games on Fox opposite whatever your local NFL game was. And it wouldn't shock me if that pops up on the schedule again once we get the NFL schedule. So that stuff we're excited about. But, yeah, week over week, it's Alexi and Katie Witham is with us this year, and we've got a great team of people who we've been doing it for a couple of years now, and everyone is sort of emotionally invested in the growth of this league. So every week is a new chance for us to tell the story and build the interest and make it fun.
You can certainly feel that watching the broadcast. As you said, 29 on FS1, 4 on Fox right now. And, of course, ESPN has a broadcast slate as well that you should check out. All the listings at MLSsoccer.com, all the national broadcast schedules, MLS Live, because it's not just about those big games. Every game matters in this league. Tell me a little bit, John, about when you go into a broadcast. You've got this amazing event, and you're trying to draw eyeballs, and you're trying to get people interested. What is the audience that you imagine you're speaking to each week? Who are you trying to talk to, and how do you do it?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I want to make sure that I'm being true to the avid fan of the two teams and make sure that I'm giving them the level of information and knowledge and expertise that they would get from their local announcers. It's a different sort of emotional reaction to what happens on the field, if you will, but making sure I'm doing justice to them with how much I know and with what I can bring out. But by the same token, we also have an awareness that our average FS1 viewer, they don't necessarily watch every game. They don't necessarily watch all of every game. And so I go in with the mentality of, if you've not seen either of these two teams all year, or maybe since the last time that they were on our air, or maybe when we see Seattle or Toronto since MLS Cup, because there are a lot of casual fans for whom that's the case, can I make sure that I can catch you up on the story and make sure that you're understanding what's going on, rather than the idea of, okay, well, who is that guy again, and why is that happening? So I try to sort of play to both sides, and even to, you know, something as simple as, and this annoys people sometimes, something I learned in radio is you have to assume you have a new audience every 15 minutes. And that's very true in television broadcasting as well. I can't assume that everyone watching in the 80th minute was there back in the 10th minute when this big moment happened. And so making sure that we're sort of reminding people of how we got here, what's been going on, making the story accessible. And again, a lot of it for me, you know, I'm a salesman. As much as I'm a journalist, I'm an entertainer and a salesman as well. And I always joked when I was on the radio in Portland, I was sort of the street preacher of soccer. And I feel the same way in this MLS broadcast. And if I can tell a story or share an anecdote or sort of use my enthusiasm in a certain moment to get you a little more invested, make you more inclined to tune in next week or to start following this team or this player, I feel like I've done my job.
You've been around this a while. You mentioned your time in Portland before you got to the national TV scene. Now that you're getting used to the markets, getting used to the travel, getting used to the different teams, what stands out to you? What's your favorite part about this whole MLS schedule?
Well, we obviously like the sort of exciting, the big games, and the Seattle-Portland on the Fox Network, you know, people less so than a couple of years ago, but you still get this occasionally accuse me of being a homer for or against certain teams. Where I am a homer is that Portland-Seattle is the best rivalry in American soccer, and I love those games. And so getting to that on the network as a doubleheader with the FA Cup final, that's when it's really exciting to me. But I'm excited for opening weekend. I'm excited to see Minnesota on the field for the first time, and I vividly remember doing that first ever Portland game and sort of what that's like. And I mean, first ever in MLS, obviously. I'm excited to see Atlanta. I'm excited to see Orlando's new stadium. I'm sort of interested to see what Seattle looks like as a defending champion this year, given that sort of their preparation for the offseason was not as, okay, we need to keep this team together, but they were preparing the whole time, assuming they were going to miss the postseason. And so that sort of informed the types of moves they made. I'm excited to see what the LA Galaxy are like this year with an almost unprecedented, certainly for a long time, amount of change just in the coaching staff and sort of the way that organization is going to be run on the field. So that's the fun thing for me, is we bounce around enough to different cities and different teams, we get a little taste of everything. And I every time a game ends, this is the honest truth, every time a game ends, and I sometimes will tweet out sort of, you know, start the clock for whatever, but that's how my brain works. I get excited for the next one. I get excited for the process of doing the prep and getting myself ready and sort of going into the city and getting a sense of the buzz and what's going on and talking to players and coaches. So as much as it's a very long MLS regular season, and certainly it's helped that, you know, I always have these summer tournaments that break it up sort of into two halves, it doesn't feel like a slog to me. Every week is sort of a new exciting adventure, and so that sort of just keeps you going all year long.
If you're looking at through March on FS1, it's Portland Timbers, Minnesota United, Atlanta United, New York Red Bulls. That's all in that first opening weekend, a big one for you guys. LA Galaxy, Portland Timbers, Seattle, Red Bulls, Toronto FC, Sporting Kansas City. Some big names, some big stars in there. You mentioned your prep process. Take me through a week. How do you follow this league? How do you prepare? What sort of documents are you putting together? What do you have accumulated over the course of a whole year? I have to imagine the files, the gigabytes, the binders, whatever it may be, the notebooks, by the time December rolls around, are packed to the gills.
Yeah, I try to every offseason sort of go through and clean some stuff out, because I was running out of room in I think November in my big file folder, because I try to keep everything. And everything I do is handwritten. that just, it helps to commit it to my brain. If I did it on the computer, it wouldn't sort of be imprinted on my brain, because sometimes, honestly, I don't have time to look down, let alone can I find where that one little thing is. So oftentimes I'm sort of regurgitating stuff I just remember in my mind, that because I wrote it down. And so I try to keep all that stuff, you know, week to week. We get an email every day from the staff at the league office of here's all the newspaper clippings and other coverage for every team. And so I have a file where I keep that, much to the annoyance of my wife sometimes. Twitter is a great resource for me, and I, you know, following every team, trying to follow a beat writer in every city, trying to follow a broadcaster for most teams, and other people who are likely to sort of retweet different things. And I'm always keeping a lookout for whether it's a feature story or a note or maybe an Opta stat that they tweet out that might be relevant or might be useful for me, even a month or two or 3 months down the line. And I keep a file just like on my email account of all of these things. And then when it's time to go in and prepare, you know, I'll always look back the last 3 or 4 weeks, 3 or 4 games, sort of depending on the situation, and mine through all of those things, all the media coverage, all the little notes, trying to find as many little nuggets as I can, but also just trying to get a broad sense of what's the conversation around this team right now. What are the storylines? Who's up and who's down? Combined with, yeah, watching games and, you know, going through some of my old standby places where I'll find notes and research and, you know, try to, as I said, sort of collate everything together so that I can come into any given game as an expert in both teams. Everything about these teams, anything that might happen on the field to any one of the players, that I have something I can tell you about it to sort of get you to understand what it all means. And so it ends up being a lot. And the challenge for me more often than not is to know what not to use on air, what not to say, you know, because that's even yesterday doing the Champions League game, I dropped a nugget in like the 82nd minute. And as I'm saying it, I'm like, why am I saying this? Who cares right now? Like, it's not, it's a neat note, but it's not relevant to what's going on. So that's a lot of it too, is in the game, knowing, you know, what to use and what not to, so that I'm bringing all the information you need, but I'm not overcrowding the broadcast with my voice droning on and on and on.
One of the things that you guys have done so well at Fox, and that's grown over the last few years, is the use of advanced analytics to help fans, to bring fans new stories. You mentioned using some of that Opta stats. How is that going to be rolled in this season? How have you found that that's changed the way you've worked?
Yeah, Opta's been a great partner with us, and you know, having stats in front of me, which is helpful. They'll in-game send us little notes back and forth of trends they see emerging. They're really great too. There's a guy off to Todd Kingston who I'll often email early in the week with, you know, hey, I'm just sort of noticing this trend. Can you look this up? And I had a good batting average at one point last year of sort of my hunches or my guesses actually panning out when he would do his research and look up, you know, things about the teams, about the players. So they're a great resource for us. You know, the Audi Player Index, I know, is sort of an interesting thing. It has drawn the ire of Michael Bradley, among others. We actually had a really great meeting with them in Seattle during the playoffs last year. And we basically said, you know, they sort of gave to us, here's what we're trying to get out of this stat and this metric. And we said, okay, but here are ways that it would be done better so that we could use it better, so that fans can understand it better. So that was a great collaborative process. And so I'm hoping that that's something that can have more value to use this year. We have people within our soccer department, one guy in particular, who's really pushing a lot of the analytics. He really wants us, and I think we're going to try to find ways to even something like expected goals, which is sort of an emerging stat, which has a lot of popularity. How can we use that in a broadcast? And that's something Opta is looking at even for their coverage of European leagues. So I think it's a balance, because on the one hand, those types of nuggets and stats can be very useful and can make the game very accessible to people, even if you're not a soccer expert. The flip side, sort of like I said before, you don't want to barrage the viewer with too much, too many numbers, too many stats. It just becomes white noise. And unlike in an NFL broadcast where we've got 3.5 hours and a lot of stoppages to sort of really unpack things and go through them, the ball's in play, you know, we're going. So it's tough for us sometimes to get all these things in and really You know, make sure that, as I said, we're not just sort of creating noise for 90 minutes.
Numbers matter, John. And, of course, the numbers that a lot of people are focused on when it comes to broadcasting are ratings. And there's a big push, as always, to increase the ratings in MLS. How much do you guys talk about your ratings? How much do you strategize? What, you know, how much brain, you know, space does it occupy for you? And what do you think will work in the next 5-10 years? How do we get MLS as a TV brand on national television to be even bigger?
I try to not worry about it too much because it can sometimes be a little bit depressing if we've, you know, we do all this work and we do a really good broadcast and then sometimes we see the number, you know, on a Monday or Tuesday and you're like, ugh. But that being said, we've had, you know, we got over 1 million people for the doubleheader with the NFL. We got a great number for MLS Cup. So there are people out there. There are MLS fans that will watch it on TV. It's a matter of making sure that we're putting the right games on at the right time in the right place to sort of capture those fans. And, you know, as much as we've had this, it's growing year over year. It's been slow and steady growth. I think one of the things that in a lot of different things about MLS, whether it's sort of the quality of play or these other sort of broader ideas, it was something that when we had our big MLS Fox sort of seminar meeting thing last week, how can we go from slow, steady growth to really starting to accelerate the thing? And I think, you know, the consistent viewing windows is important. Picking certain games to put on the network is important. Having double headers. You know, when I was at NBC, we always had a lot of success putting games on right off the back of the Premier League, which was tough to do because that ends so early in the day. And so, you know, trying to do things like that and double headers off of other soccer events we have on Fox. Our programming department are the ones that worry most about it. They're the ones that, you know, when you see the schedule of games, the games that are picked on FS1, that's a very deliberate thing that they go through. And they go through the data of viewing habits, even something as simple as what are the teams that people are tuning in to watch. And sometimes, you know, if you're a fan of a team, it's not on national TV much and that sort of bugs you, I get it. But it also, that is sort of reflective of, you know, years of data now of who people tuned to tend to tune in to watch. And so our schedule sort of strategized to that. I think the biggest thing that I can control is sort of what I said. Make sure that when you tune in, you know, we can't control the quality of play on the field, but we can control how it looks, how it sounds. We can make it interesting for you, tell these stories, get you connected and hopefully sort of emotionally invested in these teams or in these players. Because obviously we've seen MLS teams now in a lot of these markets, and certainly Atlanta and Minnesota, that's going to be the big thing this year, that they've got big local fan bases. People are interested. People are showing up and going to the games. And so how do you then sort of go to that next level, which is beyond just the fan bases of the individual teams? How do you get people who are sports fans, who are soccer fans, who are all these different definitions, but don't necessarily have an MLS team of their own? How do you get them to become interested, to want to watch games, to want to be interested in the way that, you know, not everyone watching a national NBA game is a fan of either team. That sometimes you're a basketball fan or you like this one player. So that, I think, over the course of the next 5 years is the big challenge, to really make sure that at the end of this 8-year contract, the ratings are at a level that, you know, everyone within Fox and everyone within MLS sort of says, okay, you know, this is something worth really investing to the next level.
You mentioned all that work internally with Fox, but you have two other broadcast partners nationally with Major League Soccer. What's the interaction like between you and people working there and maybe people around MLS in general?
Our interaction with them, with ESPN, is mostly good-natured heckling, and certainly, you know, we don't cross paths too many times because they're always in a different stadium on the same night. Obviously, with Julie being at ESPN, we're going to be giving her a hard time all year, and our relationships and friendships with Taylor and with Adrian, but as well, a lot of the people behind the scenes that we know, and a lot of them, you know, have worked with us at Fox or going back to my time at NBC. Univision, there isn't as much that we sort of cross paths with them. We'll see Marcelo Balboa out here and there at things. And I think all of us have the same goals. We all want it to be good. We all want it to be big. We all want it to grow. A lot of it, though, too, I think, and this is true in everything, we have different approaches. You know, we'll have a different approach to how we want to do things than ESPN will, than Univision will. And so I think, yeah, as much as you're sort of looking, and we, you know, we always have the ESPN game on in the booth watching before we go on air, and you're sort of looking for, okay, that was a neat, you know, sort of thing they did, or that was a good point they made, and is that something we can use going forward? But I think also, too, you know, whether this is sort of a confidence or a hubris, we all feel like I think we're doing a good job in the direction we're going, and we're much more concerned with sort of just being our best selves and improving on our own product week in, week out, rather than we're necessarily sort of being competitive with the other networks.
Before we let you go here, John, I'll take it a little bit farther there. And I got to tell you, I was imagining a Dorothy Mantooth is a Saint scene and maybe a little bit of a fight scene between Alexi and Taylor and all
jokes,
these guys.
Don't worry. Yeah. We do the same thing.
I figured. Watch out for Taylor. I don't think he fights fair. Anyway, before we get you out of here, the talent side of broadcasting is always interesting to me. And you came up, as you said, out of Portland, and you're still a young guy, let's be honest here. But I look around the league. I look at the talent coming up. I look at the people trying to break in. What do you see? What excites you? Who are broadcasters you like to listen to? What is the state of that side of the broadcasting game right now in MLS?
I see a whole army of young American soccer announcers that are charging after me and trying to take my job. And so I'm trying to basically just stay out in front of them for as long as I can and as close as I can until, you know, my son gets through college, I guess. it's a fun time right now. And the level of local broadcasting has needed to raise itself. And I think it has, because we're the same as everyone else. On a Saturday night, we've all got MLS Live, but we're sort of, if you saw us at dinner, you would think we hated each other because we all have our phones out. We're watching different games and we're sort of comparing notes of what's going on. And, you know, the local broadcast, that's the biggest resource, you know, for information or to see what's going on. And that's one of the fun things, is building relationships with a lot of those broadcasters, both from my time as the Timbers announcer, when you had maybe more interaction with them than, because not always necessarily is the TV announcer going to be there when we're coming in to do an FS1 game. But it's a fun thing to have friendships with these guys. You know, Jake Zivin here in Portland is an awesome young broadcaster. I love the success that he is having. I'd love to see him maybe get some opportunities to do some national stuff in the years to come. And Ross Smith, who is his analyst, I've been a friend with him for a long time. You know, Nate Bucati in Kansas City is a guy I've really enjoyed sort of getting to know and hang out with more. JP Della Camera, obviously, in Philadelphia is a wonderful, huge mentor of mine. I'm trying to think of all these guys. Joe Tutino is someone, along with Dwight Burgess, before I was even an MLS announcer, I was sort of bugging those guys just for advice and for thoughts on things. Glenn Davis, you know, down in Houston, filled in for me when I had my collapsed lung in 2011 and missed a bunch of Timbers games. I mean, that's a fun thing, is you sort of have this fraternity of broadcasters around the league. A lot of them you end up working with. You know, Daniel Sladen, who I worked with at the Women's World Cup, who's one of my favorite people ever, being the sideline reporter for the San Jose broadcast. So it's a fun thing to sort of have, as I said, this fraternity of fellow professionals. We listen to them all the time. It's fun to get to talk to them. It's fun to pick their brains on what's going on. And it's a great thing, too, of particularly with some of these younger broadcasters coming through, you know, guys that are having success and are raising the level, and they're pushing me to make sure I'm getting better every single week so that I can just keep this job. Because this is my dream job. I'm having a ton of fun. I have no interest in giving it up anytime soon.
Living the dream. Two games on FS1 on opening weekend. Of course, Friday and Sunday. On Friday, the Timbers hosting Minnesota United FC, their first ever game. And on Sunday, another first. Atlanta United at Bobby Dodd Stadium hosting the Red Bulls, who we know have had a bit of an interesting offseason. On ESPN, they have a game on Sunday. You've got Orlando City, New York City FC. That's the debut of The Wall, that new stadium there in Central Florida. And also on Saturday, Univision LA Galaxy FC Dallas. Supporters Shield winners against the resurgent Galaxy. You can watch John do his thing this weekend. Make sure you tune in, John. Thank you so much. Follow him on Twitter, John Strong. Sorry, Strong MLS. I don't know where I'm throwing that John in. So many letters.
There's too many John Strongs on Twitter. That's always been a challenge for me. Guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Good stuff from John. We're excited to see what he does this year. As I said, on Fox Friday and Sunday, Portland, Minnesota, Atlanta, New York. ESPN's got Orlando, NYCFC on Sunday, and then LA, Dallas is on Saturday on Univision.
The Orlando, NYCFC game, it's not the number one thing on my list this weekend, but like, I am about 100 times more excited to watch Orlando this year than I thought I'd be, because Jason Kreis has gone home. He's gone back to the diamond, the 4-3-1-2, instead of the 4-2-3-1. And I can't wait to see Kyle Lahren and Carlos Rivas upped up. I think it's going to work.
I know. We'll see how it works. I have so many questions about that team. I think they could finish like third or fourth in the East, or I think they could just bomb out.
I still think they're more likely to miss the playoffs, but I think that they'll be fun to watch while it's happening, at least in this way, at least more fun to watch by me.
Yep, 5 p.m. Eastern, Sunday. That's the first game on that doubleheader, actually tripleheader, because Vancouver, Philly is the nightcap on MLS Live and TSN at 9:30. Something we haven't promoted yet, and you'll want to stay tuned for this. At 4 p.m. on Sunday, Matt Doyle is going to jump on an airplane. He's going to fly to New York City. He and I are going to sit in a studio, and we're going to come to you live on Facebook, wrapping up Saturday night, Friday night, and looking ahead to Sunday. 4 p.m. Eastern, I think Stephen Keel is going to be Orlando. We'll throw it down to him in the parking lot. So if you see him or just his curls, I mean, you may not recognize his face, but you'll recognize those curls. Grab him, get on camera. Susanna Collins is going to be Atlanta. It's going to be a lot of fun. Weeby and Doyle, a little special there. I don't know. Well, it's not ETR. It can't be ETR.
We should brand it as Extra Time Radio.
Well, then you have to bring me on as a guest.
I know. Then we need Dave. I'm going to make some calls. We're going to make some calls. Otherwise, ETR is out on this one. We're going to go to break when we come back. Ben Bear and Mark McClure are talking MLS Fantasy and MLS Live for 2017.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
I'm a classic man. You can be me when you look this clean. I'm a classic man.
Back now on Extra Time Radio, how to follow MLS in 2017. We're talking about it. Big thanks to John Strong for joining us. Now with the hosts of the podcast that I'm not sure even exists, Spitting Hot Fire, Ben the Research Bear and Mark McClure are here to talk to us about MLS Live and MLS Fantasy and the app and generally do a little banter. How's it going, guys?
Going really well.
Where's the fire? You had the fire. We walked into this room and it was fired up, and now you're just
there. Was steam on the glass door.
What I'm jacked up about.
Okay,
right
what
now.
Are you jacked up about right now?
I'm really jacked up to see the Chicago Fire play. Really jacked right now. I want to see.
Sounds like a take you heard on ETR.
Dax. I want to see Nikolic. I want to see all these dudes out here. I'm jacked up about that.
Does it feel jacked? Does he feel? Is that the proper level of jack to you, Mark?
Yeah, that's mostly that's mostly how the podcast works.
Well, it's also we go on a scale of 0 to Taylor Kemp.
Oh, okay.
Taylor Kemp is the 10.
That's the most lit. Like,
that's when we get real jacked.
Okay,
Taylor
okay.
Kemp. Just
can you guys explain Spitting Hot Fire to me, the podcast? Then we'll get into MLS Live and have the good folks here understand what they can get out of MLS Fantasy this
well,
year.
Well, I mean, it's obvious. It's America's number one show within a show. The podcast within a podcast. Spitting Fire with Ben and Mark. We always start with jacked up. Ben, what are you jacked up about? Comes in hot with something. Then we go to Simon Says, where we break down Simon's latest take on something. Me being from New Historical School, I take a much more analytical approach. Ben from the Francesa Russo School, very much in the weeds with it, with his takes.
It's guttural. It's fire. It's whatever's mulling, you know.
Chugging Diet Cokes.
Yeah, the that's undigested right. takes there that Ben has on his side. I think that the Simon Says, we may steal that from you, or we may bring in Spit and Fire for like 2 minutes on Mondays, because Simon Says is a great, great topic. I mean, I think we could add a lot of things in there, like Ambrose Hyungo is the best outside back in MLS.
Now that Simon's tweeting again, apparently, I think people should really ask for his opinions on NCAA tournament, which is coming up.
They should.
He has some good opinions on that one.
So many inside jokes here. Let's actually get to MLS Fantasy. Of course, the game is back. It's simplified. It's easier to play. You have unlimited transfers. I am so thankful for that, because it eliminates that moment of the season where you're thinking, my squad is garbage. I can't improve them unless I throw this week. That is out for you. Remember, join the ETR League. We have now passed this week in MLS. Those suckers are in our rearview mirror. The code, 12-308. You have to have the dash. So remember the dash, 12-308.
Or go to the post, and there'll be a link to join.
Yeah, that as well. We'll provide those resources for you. I'll put it out on Twitter as well. You should go do that. The game is as I said, I think very much improved this year, Ben. Run us through the hows, the whats, and the whys here.
Well, first of all, we launched the game 3 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. So I don't know if you haven't signed up already. I don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You're
waiting.
I don't know what you're waiting for. Just go sign up. So as Weeby mentioned, it's unlimited transfers this year, so you can change your whole team every week. So there's no more, looking 4 weeks in advance and making sure you have the right guys on the bye or the right guys on double game week. You don't have to worry about any of that anymore. You pick up, you play your matchups, you play if a forward's playing the Colorado defense, you're probably not going to want to pick him up or based on last year. So that's great. You can change your whole team. You can have fun with it. You can play around. You can make an ETR team.
Patty Mullins. Yes, yeah. Patty Mullins. Who else would
Jay
be on
Chapman.
That team?
Jay Chapman
would Albert definitely be on that team. Albert Elise is
Tommy
starting
Thompson.
For that team every single day
and
of the week.
And Andrew Wanger, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
He's just coming off the book with book rec- or off
no,
the bench with book recommendations.
No Tommy Mack?
Oh.
Taylor Kemp's definitely on
Taylor
that team.
Taylor Kemp's at outside back. There's no doubt about that. Tommy Mack will have to have an internal discussion here.
Okay. So there's all that. Then we have the best prizes we've ever had in fantasy. You can win a trip to the All-Star game if you have the most points through round 17, I believe. And then you can win a trip to MLS Cup if you have the most points at the end of the season.
All-Star game's in Chicago, so if you're already getting jacked up about the fire.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So you can just go to the All-Star game and then go to the fire game either the week before or the week after.
Double dip, yeah.
And then what's really fun this year is we also have a new tournament for the first week of the season, which allows you to win a $200 MLSstore.com gift card, MLS Live subscription, and two tickets to an MLS regular season game. So this is a one-off for the first week. Mm-hmm. So, going into previous fantasy seasons, you're kind of always kind of confused about who's going to start, who should I play, and that could affect you for weeks after that. Now it's just 1 week, and then we kind of start the real regular season for fantasy in week two. But if you get the most points in that first week, then you win all that cool stuff.
And you can get your teams, you get your friends to sign up. That's another part of this is – yeah, in years past, like I said, if you didn't sign up in time, you felt like you missed out and was like, shrug my shoulders, it's over. I don't even want to be a part of this. I can't win the ultimate prize. Well, you can do that now, and you can also convince your friends, and ultimately that's the fun of it. Now, I am the guy who got kicked out of my friend's fantasy football league because I didn't play, so don't be that player. If you sign up, if you commit to this stuff, at least try, and now you don't have that feeling of, I got to take negative 80 points here because I didn't change my team in 8 weeks. So try to get some leagues together, do that. Dave, are you any good at this? I mean, Ben the Research Bear, I think, has a chip on his shoulder here. What'd you finish last year?
I finished about like 150 last year.
150?
Which
okay.
is pretty good.
That's respectable.
I think it's the best I've ever finished.
Yeah, that's good for a Research Bear. How about you here, Dave?
I normally peak in week three. So week three, I'm normally like top 200, and then I completely fall off the face of the earth, which I think is a decent style because everyone remembers the beginning of the season, right? Like, Philadelphia Union had a good year last year because they started the season hot.
Yeah, I mean, everyone remembers
that. I'm the Philadelphia
but,
Union.
For your example, you have a hot start and you fall off.
Yeah.
I think that is less likely to happen this year because you're not going to have the people who are, more – in the past, the more tuned in you are, the better your standing is going to be over the course of the season. It's kind of changed this year because you don't have to plan so far ahead for your team. You can log in on Friday morning and just change your team.
So it's just about picking the hot hand over and over again.
Right. The flip side is if you're not any good, you can blame it on yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're bad at picking.
No, I'm going to be awful. But I'm going to be the one running the ETR team, which I think is going to blow everyone out of the water.
So we have some names here. I don't know what you guys have named your teams, but we have, let's see, some in the ETR league that I liked. I mean, the hot boy Kevin Molinos, that's not creative, but I'm going to read it if it's in there. It's all about Damane. I think that one's decent. Pontius Pilate. That's a biblical throwback there. Philadelphia Union combination. Enjoy that one. Dilly Ding, Dilly Duca. I'm not so sure. Coming to Ameriquois.
That's a good one.
Yeah, questionable lineup. I think they could have chosen something other than lineup, but I like the questionable pun there for sure.
What's your name?
I mean, I always have the same name. It's Gringoroso.
Why is that your name?
It's just my name. I don't have any real reason. I think it's just,
Just like an
I'm a gringo.
Just an ursile mammal.
Oso is bear.
Yeah.
So it works out well.
Makes sense.
It does. And if you want to be best informed about your fantasy team, of course, you need to be on MLS Live. And Mark here is our guru on that side. I'm just going to throw out a plug for it before we get started and kind of explain to you what is new for this year and what's awesome. It is the best way to follow this league. And I'll fully admit, you know this, huge MLS nerd. I just like watching games. I'll watch anything at any time. I'll watch replays. MLS Live is the place to do that. And I can do it in line at, like, the bank or the supermarket, although then I have about $45 in data charges from it. But it's still worth it from time to time. Mark, tell people what they're getting this year. The pricing, I believe, $79.99. That's like 20 cents a game.
Something? Yeah, it's great value if you're watching lots of games. We're excited about the product this year. The engineering team led by Samir and the group is working really hard to get it up and running. The new platform is exciting because it's kind of the first time we've had a chance to kind of regroup and try and add some of the things we wanted to add for a while. And so throughout the year, you're going to see improvements, and in the coming years, you're going to see more improvements. So when it finally turns on this year, you'll notice it looks a little bit different, but the core features that you are used to, the DVR features, all that will be ready for you. And you'll be able to watch multiple games at once. Before, the window just let you kind of watch three. Now you can get a fourth in there, so you can get quadrant.
That OD.
Quad
box.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know how you watch that, but we do it all the time in here, and you just wait for, like, somebody to yell, one of the announcers to yell, and then you change your attitude.
We're really excited about kind of the other next steps that we're going to take. You know, there's stuff that we can't really talk about now, but we're really excited, and hopefully fans will enjoy the product this year and get a lot out of it. You know, I always think of it as a great way, as you mentioned, Andrew, to extend what you're already kind of watching on TV. This is especially true now in Canada, which has that great new national TV deal. And I know a lot of listeners here want to live kind of a fully digital lifestyle and are really more concerned about, well, when's MLS Live going to become like a cord cutter product? When's it going to be like the Netflix or Hulu for soccer? That's many years away. For now, we just need to show our sponsors and our partners and our owners in particular that there's a real demand to just watch soccer no matter where it is. And so a lot more games on national TV in the U.S. and Canada this year. And then those games, like, you know, there's a great Toronto RSL game that first weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That's not on national TV. I'll be watching it on MLS Live. I think a lot of other fans will, too, in the U.S.
The Rusnak debut against TFC's Monsters.
Yeah.
Will he get eaten alive? We'll see. I also like, you know, I'm not going to throw out all the games, but I think DC United Sporting, it's the one time of the year that you get it. And Sporting's press against DC United's new Benny Ball, I would say. I mean, I think that aesthetically they have one of the chances to be the best teams in the league. And Bill Simmons coined the kind of the NBA League Pass thing a long while back, and we kind of stole that. Yeah, we stole that. But I think MLS Live teams, DC United is going to be right there. And if you want to watch some of these other teams, I'm getting the eye roll right now from the
who's your MLS part. Live team?
Yeah, who are you going to
I mean, they definitely were at the end of the last season, but at the start of the season, I want to see the new players, the new teams.
So right now, who's your team?
Yeah, I would say Atlanta has to be the top MLS Live team, at least until we see how they actually play. I want to see all these new players. I think Columbus is going to have a great year, and I really want to see how they'll play this season.
Columbus Fire is also an MLS Live game, 2 p.m. on Saturday.
Chicago's like up there for me. I think with DC, we know what's going to happen. We know that they scored a ton of goals at the end of last season, but it's all the same kind of players, and I want to see new right now.
Okay.
Who's your team, Mark?
Well, I mean, obviously, I spent 5 years at DC, so I watched them quite a bit. I like to watch Toronto. I love Javinko, so I watch him whenever I can. I also like to just watch some of the new players that come in the league. So I use MLS Live a lot just to see kind of how new guys are faring with their teams and just learn more about different styles of play, particularly the West Coast games, which I don't, you know, always get to.
That's 10 p.m.
The perfect night. I just come home, Roku, throw on MLS Live, sit back on the couch, watch a little Portland Timbers, Sebastian Blanco putting on a show, I'm hoping, and Diego Valeri. I think that might be my, like,
well, and I think the only place to get condensed games, right, is through MLS Live as well, and you have to be a subscriber. And those are always nice because I hit, like, a Sunday and maybe I was out on Saturday and I got, like, one game, the one I really wanted to watch. Like I said, I'm at the bar with my phone set up and I'm watching while everybody else is being social. But you get, like, I think the 20-minute condensed games there. That's a really nice feature for Sundays as well.
Yep. There will be a couple changes. As fans are starting to start their subscription, notice that you don't need a username anymore, just using your email, which will be handy. Nothing to forget. A lot of people were often writing in to saying they couldn't remember how to log in, right, and now it's just your email, which would be nice.
Including Ben Bear.
Including David Goss.
A lot of staff members used to hit me up for access. And they'll also notice that the archives are a little bit skimpier at first. It's a huge task to migrate all that data from one platform to this new service provider. And so at first you're only going to see mostly, obviously, the 2017 archives will be there immediately after the game. And 2016 will be in there. I mean, the reality is that while it's a great feature, that was certainly a power user feature that a very tiny percentage of people.
You mean people aren't going back to like 2008 and watching games like me? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to, we'll make it available as best we can, but the core features everybody wants, which is to watch live games that aren't blacked out, is definitely available. And then, of course, you can watch the match replay as soon as it's available. So if you're on a local blackout, once that local blackout ends, due to local TV, then you can just watch that replay. If you're part of a national TV blackout in the U.S., you have to do it way a little bit longer. You have to wait the 48 hours. In Canada, you can watch if it's on if it's TSN, watch right away. If it's on if it's blacked out due to CTV, that'll be a 24-hour blackout.
Remember, $79.99 is the price on that one. About 21 cents per game. I mean, look, it's a good gift. It's a good investment for yourself. I can't recommend it enough. I actually bought it for my dad a couple years back, and I get it for him every year. And he texts me all the time, like, oh, hey, this looked cool. This was a good game. Who's this player? So it's a good way to educate yourself as well. On Fantasy, before we get out of here, at MLS Fantasy is the Twitter handle. That's correct. Definitely a must follow. We got a bunch of experts on there, a.k.a. not myself, not David Goss, but, yes, Ben the Research Bear, and Shula Redpath, and Andrew Winter, and some others giving you day-to-day
Skyler,
advice.
Skyler finishes top 10 every year, so he's a good.
I don't know why I Schuler. I always it's the spelling.
Sorry, Skyler. I'm sorry, Skyler.
Yeah, that's my fault.
And if you're not glued to Twitter, if you've got our app, the best thing to do is download the free app and sign up for those fantasy alerts. You know, sign up for the topic fantasy soccer, and every time there's a new article comes out, you know what's up and how to make your choices. And within the app, you can select the fantasy option, and it'll jump you right to the game.
And through the app, you can watch MLS Live as well.
Yep.
So you can Chromecast that right to your TV. I know a lot of people that do that. It makes it really, really easy for them. Go check out MLS Live, all the information. Big thanks to those two Yahoos for joining us. Go check out MLS Live. I really do think it's a great value for you, and I know I use it. My dad uses it. It runs in the family, Dave. And MLS Fantasy, beat us. Beat the experts. We're still trying to figure out. I'm still trying to figure out what my name of my team is going to be. Right now, it's just Andrew Wiebe, and I'm getting a lot of shtick on Twitter for that.
People are directing it at us, and it's like, I don't speak for Andrew Wiebe.
It's on me. I'm going to come up with something better. Join our league. 12-308 is the code, and check out the ETR extravaganza this week. If you missed it on Monday, the Eastern Conference preview with Jesse Marsh. Wednesday, referee special, Peter Walton, Alan Kelly. Thursday, all about the West with Hercules Gomez. And Friday, predictions. Then it's the season. That's what we're all about, baby. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.